I'm not going to do much of an introduction other than to say Pastor Norm is here, and he will do the introductions, and then we will hear from the ladies. I think it is such a fitting morning for us to be doing this, because God does heal the broken, and he does restore, and he does call those who do not know him unto himself. It is not us who does this, it is Jesus. And we are reminded of that this morning when we take communion after, that God allowed his only son to be crucified for each one of us, for our imperfections, so that we would come to him and be full in his grace. So Norm, thank you. Can we give him a good Uxbridge welcome, please?
Well, good morning. Everybody happy? I have to ask that question. We just like to leave home with joy in front of us. And that was about 5:30 this morning when my feet hit the floor. And my wife and I live in Niagara, so we drive an hour and a half to get to the Women's Center and then go out from there. A couple of weeks ago, it was a 3:30 head to North Bay day. And that'll get Tim Hortons moving real quick in the morning, so it's all good, however. Kathy, you were in Newfoundland.
Yes.
Are you from there?
No.
You're not? I would have thought you might have stopped at the center epic point of the world on your way back. The island.
The island.
The island. P-E-I. Do you? Then you love me. That's where I discovered Canada from. You're supposed to be close to your mother when you're born, and that's where she was, and so here I are. And so anyway, that was my journey. And I tell people, I want to just remind people that heaven will be shaped after PEI. And the heavenly food is lobster and PEI French fries, and the rest is okay. Anyway, just a couple of things I want to throw out before the ladies come. That there's activities going on at the Women's Center. We have a golf tournament coming up very soon somewhere. I had to quit golfing. It was too hard in my Baptist sanctification. And so I went to motorcycling instead. And so on July the 20th, we've got a motorcycle run happening at the Women's Center in Aurora. And if you are a motorcycler, see us at the table. There's stuff back there that you can take with you, and for golfers as well. And also we have a card donation program that really helps the ministry in a huge way. So we'll take your car, we'll take your pickup, we'll take your motorcycle, we'll take your boat, we'll take your RV, we'll take your grandkids. Just anything that's available, we'll use it for good. And also, you should have gotten in your bulletin today, and many of you, I'm sure, are aware of what this is. We've been here before. I think I was here about 4 or 5 years ago, and probably a team since that, I don't know. But how many of you here, you really don't know anything about Teen Challenge or what it is that we do? You don't really know at all. Just lift your hand, just kind of wave it at me. Well, some don't. And what we are, if you went to the yellow pages, is that we are a drug and alcohol rehabilitation organization, and that would all be true. But the essence of really what we are is that we are a Jesus-loving, devil-hating, sin-chasing, discipleship-making organization. That's what we really are. Amen? Praise God. And we're so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us and he cares for us, and broken people get a chance to have life change, and that's why they come to our program. It's a year long, and it's from 18 years of age and up. And you would have received this in your bulletin, I think, and would you take it out, just kind of look at it with me just for a second. And a lot of things are happening at Teen Challenge. Right now, we have opened another women's center in Hague, Saskatchewan. I was there 3 years ago with our board of directors and our CEO. We dedicated the property under the Lord, and about 8 weeks ago now, we've opened that, and the first two ladies walked in. The building is brand spanking new, cost $5 million to build it. One businessman Because he lives in Saskatoon, he knows that we have a men's center in Allen, Saskatchewan, and he's seen the miracles that have committed there, the life change and people's lives absolutely rebirthed into not only into Christ, but into a whole new dynamic of living. And this man so believes in what we do, he got behind this thing, took one of our student graduates, who is now working for us in our development department out there, and he started going out to people in business that he knew, and he himself put in almost $1 million into this whole venture. And the day that the two first students walked through that door into that brand new building, it was absolutely 100% paid for. Amen? And that's what God will do when people get a vision and want to see God changing lives and birthing new things through Christ into hearts. So, but what keeps us going, however, is not buildings, it's you. It's people who come alongside and want to invest in someone's life. And $40 a month may seem like a little bit more money than perhaps one can afford, but if you could and if you would, consider this morning prayerfully if the Lord would have you sponsor one of the ladies that's with us here today and others that are not. There's approximately, I think, between our interns and our students, there's about 20 girls in the program right now in Aurora. And it's life-changing, to say the least, and you're going to hear all about that in a few minutes, and I'm going to say little about that, but Lorraine will be coming in a few moments, and she is sponsorable because she's become very responsible. And her life is a powerful testimony of Jesus Christ and what he's doing. And I want to take it just for 3 minutes and take a quick look at what's going on across Canada. This is old, but also in Newfoundland right now, we are opening a new women's center, actually just opened. And the young woman who's been working at that down there, getting it ready, she's also a graduate of Teen Challenge. 25% of all of our employees now at Teen Challenge are graduates. Can you believe that? People who came through the doors, I mean addicted to every kind of a thing you can imagine, but now work for us as leadership, doing work for Jesus Christ and watching lives be changed. And they are amazing people. Take a look at this, please. Addiction is real. It's killing our country. And we're here today to let you know that there is hope, there is help, and Teen Challenge is certainly a part of that. If you'd like to give a one-time gift, we do have a Moneris machine at the back, if that works for you. But the big thing that keeps us going is becoming a sponsor at $40 a month. You can fill out the information in the back, and that comes off your account automatically if you'd like to do that, or a blank check or whatever. The ladies will be at the back after, at the table, and they can explain a whole bunch of things to you. And we have literature that's free back there. If you know someone that's in addiction, needs help, please get some of that material, put it in their hand, and you just might save a precious life. Today, this day, 11 Canadians are going to die. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. 77 people will die this week because of unintended overdose. 335 for the month, or 4,015 for the year. Since 2016 to the end of 2018, about 13,000 Canadians have lost their lives because of addiction. That's a whole town. That's gone. Those people have left families, children, spouses, all kinds of things. Folks, our country is in a mess, and legalizing stuff doesn't fix it. Just saying. And so, with God's help, with his guidance, Teen Challenge has been spreading its wings, and another new men's center right now we're preparing to open, hopefully this fall, in the Ottawa Valley area. So we'll have 9 centers going almost by the end of September. And so we are up, not 6 anymore, but we're up to 8 functioning right now. And so without further ado, I want you to meet Lorraine, and she's going to tell you her story. And she is sponsorable, if you'd like to sponsor her today as well. So would you make her welcome, please?
Good morning, everyone. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you and me will carry it on to the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. Hi, my name is Lorraine, and this is my testimony. of how Jesus rescued me from the darkness of addiction after 31 years. I grew up in a small town called Tomogamy. I lived with my mom, dad, my two sisters, and brother. I am the youngest of three siblings. I can remember my dad being strict and protective. I was sexually abused when I was 5 years old by my dad's best friend. It was many years later I had tried to disclose to my family what had happened. I did not share anything when I was younger, as he had threatened to hurt my family if I did. Eventually, when I tried to tell my older sister about the abuse, she did not believe me. She told my parents right away, but they never talked about it after that until they found out years later that this abuser had a history of abuse. From the beginning of my years in school, I was bullied as I was put in a special education class. As I had difficulty concentrating, I would ask myself, what is wrong with me? What did I do wrong? I kept thinking it was me. When I was 9 years old, I tried alcohol for the first time. I remember taking it out of the fridge as I had seen my parents drink and how it affected them. They looked happy and I wanted the same. I can remember the good feeling I experienced, and I would continue to steal it from time to time, hiding off in my room alone. Because of my dad's strictness and verbal abuse towards my mom, I moved out at the age of 15 and moved in with the family I was babysitting for and became their live-in nanny. During my high school years, as the rebellion continued, I became friends with others who were making similar choices, experimenting with any drug that would give me a good feeling. I can remember eventually writing a suicide note to this family, thanking them for everything they had done for me. However, I struggled because of the pain and rejection I felt from my own family. Eventually, I did return home. But my lifestyle of rebellion continued. I got married in 2001 to my husband, who was a truck driver and was away all the time. We both had quit smoking and drinking before we married. However, I continued using other substances such as opiates, as well as being unfaithful in order to get those substances. In 2006, my dad passed away. My dad never showed affection growing up until the day he passed away. Was the first time I can remember him telling me that he loved me. This made me feel neglected, like he was absent my whole life, but today I understand why he did the things he did to protect me from the things in this world. I was always looking for love in all the wrong places and trying to fulfill it with whatever I could just to feel wanted and loved by anyone. I was struggling raising our children on my own. I had my own cleaning business, and I was starting to steal medication from the clients, only to get caught where the consequences were to get help or charged. I chose to get help, but not immediately, as I still didn't think I had a problem. But eventually there was a family intervention, along with my husband having reported me to CAS. However, my daily drug use continued, and eventually things fell apart in my marriage, and in 2013, I lost custody to my three children. I was initially double doctoring to get any prescription drugs. With this loss now, I was just going directly to the streets to get what I wanted, and my substance use was completely out of control. I was so desperate and wanted help and just didn't know how to. Know how to after relapsing so many times. I was told I had to surrender everything, and I tried to, but just didn't succeed and felt I didn't know how to. I felt so much like a failure every day. I was literally dying inside, and it was just a matter of time, the way I was going, that someone would find me dead. I do not understand what I do for what I want to do. I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Romans 7:15. I was in and out of treatment programs for 6.5 years, during which time in 2015, I can remember receiving a call while in treatment, hearing that my mom had passed away. I had been close with my mom, and I was the only one out of her four children that believed her sharing about Jesus. Knowing that I had already lost my children and now my mother, A big piece of my heart went with her. This was a big loss for me. At this time, I fell down to my knees and cried out to God to help me live or let me die. I was becoming a person who was so lost and didn't know who and where I belonged anymore. I always knew deep down inside there was a God. I was raised in a Catholic home, and my mom would take us to church and my dad would wait in the car. I would talk with Jesus throughout my life. Years later, I had an AA sponsor who was a Christian. She introduced me to the church and a Bible study, and I began attending on a regular basis. I felt like I was at home. The lies I believed all throughout my life were the very things I made my truth. I had to fall many times to finally come to realize that there was something beyond. When I wanted to stay down, there was hope inside of me that wouldn't let me stay down. Between 2011 and 2018, 10 treatment centers later, seeking help in every way, it finally came and brought me to the place where I surrendered to Jesus, realizing he was that very hope who was there. I needed to get away from North Bay and exit the chaos that was there in my life, and I applied to Teen Challenge in December of 2018. I walked through the doors on February the 4th, 2019. I was so excited and desperately needed this. I am putting my trust in God and becoming more concerned about what he thinks rather than what others are thinking of me. I am growing in confidence and learning and realizing that I can do things, especially through Christ who strengthens me. And I am discovering who I am in Christ. I've heard it said that the greatest followers make the greatest leaders because they remain to be teachable. With an open mind and listen to learn and learn to listen. To the teachers that surround them every day. Everyone who I've crossed paths with in my lifetime have all taught me a valuable lesson. They come into my life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And I can only to thank God for that. Thank you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Thank you. And God bless.
About 4 weeks ago, I guess it is now, that I went up to North Bay. Lorraine came with me. She would go into this little church for just a very short time before she came to Teen Challenge, and most of the people in that church did not know her story. But the ones that did, they surrounded her. He surrounded her that morning. Like there's a lost child coming home. And the truth was, a lost child who just had found Jesus in new depth, new way, came home. She shared her story. It was wonderful. It was powerful. And when these women come up here to share their stories, it's very, very difficult. And because it brings out a lot of stuff that has gone on in their lives, and now they're hearing it back from themselves for the first time. And one of those first-timers is here today. Michelle, I want you to come. And she's more nervous than a cat in a hot tin roof. But would you make her welcome, please? First time I've heard her story. I was going to try to read something here. Can't see it now. Isn't Jesus good? We've all got a story, one way or another. I've been in ministry a long time. I'm old. 46 years in June past. Pastor churches, traveled as an itinerant evangelist across North America and other parts of the world. Huntley Street, 11 years, almost 7 years. Now at Teen Challenge. There's not a day that my feet hit the floor that I don't want to be here. And at 70 years of age, I feel like I'm just getting started. If I only knew back when what I know now. And watching our Savior, who loves us. I don't think that in all the years that you do things and you're working for kingdom business and all the rest of it, and you know all the ins and outs. But when I see these precious lives, and knowing what I was through in my own past and all the rest of it, brought up in a very dysfunctional alcoholic home and so on. But to know that Jesus, not only does he love us, he continues to minister at the right hand of the Father for us. It hasn't stopped at Calvary, and it didn't stop at the resurrection. It really began there. And when I look at Romans 5, cut in at verse 6, it says, at just the right time. Michelle, at just the right time. Lorraine, at just the right time. G, at just the right time. In fact, sweetheart, well, come on up here with me, will you? She's just helping on the table today. She's not supposed to be testifying. But I'm old enough that I don't care. But I see all these precious lives coming in.
Good morning, church.
Amen. And I'm a little lonesome today because my oldest daughter's on her way back to the States. Kind of doesn't seem fair. But I got these other daughters with me today. You came to Teen Challenge. Why?
Because, I was lost, broken, and searching for God for many, many years. I researched a lot of different religions, but nothing really resonated with me. And at some point, I lost all hope, and I would pray to a God I didn't believe existed, but he brought me to Christ, and he knew that that was the completion of what I needed, and filling that void with something not man-made or earthbound, but with his grace and his love, and I found Jesus, and I love him.
And that all happened when you came to Teen Challenge?
Yes.
So how long have you been on the program now?
10 months, and I graduate in 2 months, September, and yeah.
What are you doing after that?
I have hopes of interning.
What's an intern? Explain that.
Intern is phase 4 of the program. You can you are staying at the residence at the same time, as well as working. Helping staff and doing other duties that they place you in.
And of course, we pay you a whole lot to do that. There is some. Because we're just rolling in bucks.
Yes.
So, what's the, after the internship, what would you like to be doing?
I want to go to Bible college and study addictions counseling.
And bless your heart. You will, and you can, and you should. God love you, sweetie.
Thank you.
This is what I mean by investment. It's not just giving to another ministry. And we're, you know, pastors are bombarded with everything that's going on, and every person who thinks they've got something they need to do and get paid for, and the church got all kinds of money, and they just are going to stand behind it all. Well, that's not true, and I've been a pastor long enough to know how difficult it is just to keep the home lights on. But also at the same time, I know the Teen Challenge can do things which helps the church, helps the pastors, because they can't take a person off the street and bring them into the church and say, here, live here. That's not going to happen. They don't have the resources to deal with people on a daily basis, 24 hours a day. They're in our care. They're there. It's safe. It's good. They're loved. and they're cared for. And at just the right time, Jesus comes. And when this precious young lady came searching and found what she was looking for, found the fulfillment of heart, and still growing and maturing in the Lord. And we've watched G over these last 10 months come from this little shy girl. I'll honest to goodness, folks, she was so quiet, I was getting nervous. And because I wondered, what's going on in her mind? What's going on in the depth of her heart? Will she stay? Will she last? It was iffy looking at her because there was so much going on and being sorted out within her heart and in her soul, as it is for all of them. Because this journey into this place called Teen John's, what is it? You wind up there with 20 other women, and women are very, I'm going to say it right out loud. Ladies, I love you, but you can be catty and suspicious. And it's just the way it is. And when they're in there, they're all looking at each other and wondering what's going to happen here. But then they realize that these women aren't out to hurt me or to judge me. They're all there for the same reason. I need help. And I need hope. And I better find it here because I'm not getting it anywhere else. And then they meet the Master. Listen to what Paul said. He said, at just the right time, when we were still hopeless, powerless, lost, just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man or a good cause or some kind of a thing, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But the good news is he didn't stay dead. The devil thought he had him, but while he was in that tomb, while that blood was shed on the cross and his body laid in that tomb, he was down in the spirit realm leading captivity captive into the very throne room of the Father. He was not idle. He was busy. He was doing a work. And after that, his resurrection and then his ascension unto the Father in heaven. And his work is still going on because I'm here today in proof of it. Because I need him on a daily basis because I have this ability to mess up. Yeah, but you're a preacher. Look, we're just flesh and blood and mud. And every man, every woman, I don't care who you are, how long you've been saved, or how holy you think you are, every man and every woman's got a little mud on his boot. So we don't have anything to boast in other than Jesus Christ and his daily love, his daily working out in our lives. Do you know him? Have you received that for yourself? It's a tremendous experience, you know, to realize that your Heavenly Father loves you, and you may never have even spoken his name other than in a swear word. And I had a mouth like a sewer pipe. That's how I expressed myself years ago. But then I met the Master at the back door of the church trying to get out because I wasn't going to go to that Billy Graham altar thing that they do with that church. But I got saved at the back door of the church. Because a wise pastor saw me, because I was there for a Sunday school contest going on. That was about 104 years ago. And that day, everything changed in my life. Nothing perfect, but saved. Amen? Say that word with me. Saved. Say it out loud. Saved. Isn't it good to be saved? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for these precious ladies. Watching you do things, Lord, and taking broken lives and mending them, putting ashes back into reality. Lord, you've taken our ashes and made beauty. And here, Lord, we are today to say thank you. And to boast to other people that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, that you don't look upon our foibles and our messes and our stuff, but you look at our hearts, and you know our needs before we even ask. And here you are, Jesus, today, touching, rearranging, healing the broken. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't want anybody looking around, please. This is just between you and me and Jesus, just the three of us. You may be going through some stuff right now in your life personally. You say, Lord, Norma, I just need the Lord to come and bring something into my life. There's stuff going on. It may not be an addiction, but it may be something else. But it's real no matter what it is. And I want to pray into that with you. But if you'd like me to make that little prayer today, say, Norm, I'm just going through something with every head bowed, every eye closed. Just lift a hand and say, I need to be included in that prayer. That's my confession. Yes, I see it. Yes, all over this room. Yes, yes. Thank you. You can put it down. You see, we're just people who God loves and cares about. And I want to just pray, Father, you've seen these hands that have been lifted today. And Lord, you know what's behind that hand, that request that's gone up, Lord, saying, help. Lord, this thing's happening. We need you. And so, Jesus, from this hour on, Lord, in faith collectively here today, Lord, anything, Lord, that the enemy has put against these precious lives, we say, in Jesus' name, be free. And we say to the enemy, we rebuke that enemy. In Jesus' name, be gone. And so, Lord, with your authority, not with ours, but with your authority, Lord, we start to see the things that have hindered being pushed aside and going away in Jesus' name. And if you've never received the Lord into your life, if you don't know him in a personal way today, would you pray a little prayer with me? And all these folks in this room will pray it with you. You may be brought up in a Christian home thinking, well, you know, things are all right. But you know what? God has no grandchildren. It's you and he. It's one-on-one. Just one-on-one. And if you've never made that decision for the Lord, I want to pray a little prayer and then tell somebody, tell your parents, tell pastors, tell somebody afterwards that you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart. Would you pray this little prayer with me, everybody, everyone in this whole room? Some of us who've been saved a long while, we need to just remind ourselves that we're in him and he's in us and we continually need him. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, I need you. And I thank you that you love me. And I ask you today to cleanse me from all of my sins. Jesus, I give my heart to you because I believe in you. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing this little prayer. I'm saved. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Don Wilkerson said about Teen Challenge, David's brother, he said, hope lives here. Freedom is found here. Changed lives leave here. Meet us in the room afterwards and talk to the ladies. Get to know them a little bit one-on-one. If you can help in any way, we say thank you for that. God bless you all. Thank you for having me.